Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk.
Welcome into Coffee Break. I'm Troy Shockley. I do appreciate you joining us this snowy Thursday morning. And a note for you, you can now catch our show on your schedule. The Coffee Break podcast is available. You can find us at coffeebreak959.podbean.com. There's a link at the top of our website. That's kcap.com. We're also on iTunes. We're now on Spotify. I'm waiting to get our verification on Google Play. We're everywhere. We're out there. And joining us on our show in here, St. Peter's Health CEO, Wade Johnson. Wade, it's been a little bit since you've been in. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Good morning.
Yeah, good Christmas?
Great Christmas, yes. And it's nice to see a little bit of the white stuff out there, too. Kind of adds to the touch.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sort of a delayed, it's a white holiday. I don't know if we really had a white Christmas, but...
It started snowing pretty late that evening, but there were still lots of joyous shouts in the house about snow coming down and getting ready to do some skiing and those types of things.
Yeah, it's starting to look pretty good. And I think today a perfect time to do a little bit of a look back and a look ahead. Because St. Peter's has already come a long way. It started a lot of things this last year, but you've got a way to go because you've got lofty goals, I know.
Yes, we do. Yes.
So I guess first the rearview mirror. Looking at things that you've accomplished this year, I suppose it really comes down to kicking off that multi-year campaign. You want to become, as you've said, the gold standard for healthcare in the state.
Yeah, setting the vision for us to be the gold standard for healthcare in Montana by 2025. So launching that means a lot of things to us as an organization, but really creating a focus for us and what we're working on. And we want to take care of our community better than any institution in the state takes care of their community, if that makes sense, mm-hmm. Which is a tall order. There's some great healthcare institutions in this state. And we hope that as we go on our journey, that will help kind of raise the bar for everyone across the state as well. So,
yeah, one of the things we're going to be talking next week, in case people aren't looking at the calendar and really thinking about it, New Year's Eve is coming up. And we're talking next week with Mal out at Capital City Health Club about resolutions and the importance of making them specific and having goals and, you know, setting sort of the baby steps and a lot of things of making that possible. That's the things that you're doing out at St. Pete's. There's specific goals. There's things involved. And one of those that you've added out there this last year, a new endoscopy suite. Can you kind of explain to us what that is and why that's a big thing and working towards your ultimate goal?
Right. So with the one of the proud things or things that we're really proud of this last year is opening our new endoscopy suite. And that allows us to do it really makes a smoother process for our patients that are coming in and getting an endoscopy, getting a GI procedure, these types of things. They can move through the our organization more quickly, more smoothly. All of the staff that work in there obviously specialize in that. So the new facilities that we have there, the procedure rooms, the patient bays, all of it's designed to help patients move through efficiently through that process. And it's a beautiful space. We have some great physicians and other providers that work in that area. It's a significant need here in the community. We've had a lot of success this last year recruiting new physicians. We can talk about that in a minute. But one of the areas that we do plan to recruit more physicians, providers, would be in the GI area.
And you also added a new 3D mammography machine. That's not necessarily new technology, but it's new here to Helena.
That's correct, yes. So it's a... It's just been kind of a year where we've been able to add some neat things to the organization. This next year, of course, coming too, we can talk about that as well. But the 3D Mammo is an opportunity for us to have the absolute latest equipment available to use for in radiology for mammographies and to be able to support our radiologists in the testing that they do and extend this technology to our community and to all the women in our community.
So it's just one more thing where we have that service that we can offer here, and we don't have to say, look, this is what you need, this is the procedure you need, and here's where you have to go and leave Helena to get it.
That's right. So part of our goal as we look to becoming the gold standard across the state is really to make sure that all of our community members have access to the latest technology and medical knowledge that's available anywhere. We can't do everything here in Helena. We recognize that. But what we can do, we want to have the very best of it. And we're just excited that this last year has been a year for us to bring in a few more things in that regard. And we have plans in the coming years to continue to add to that.
We're chatting this morning with Wade Johnson, the CEO out at St. Peter's Health. And Wade, you guys got a pretty big gold star next to your name when you got some accreditation this year too. That was a big deal for you.
It was. We are using a new accreditation organization. They're not new, but new to us. We switched this last year, and we're on a journey to become ISO certified, which is folks in manufacturing may be familiar with that. But really, it's about our quality management system and ensuring that all our processes are in order to produce high quality results. And before, our other accrediting organization would come in once every 3 years. This organization comes in every single year. They come in with what they call the fine-tooth comb, right? Mm-hmm. And they begin digging through files and interviewing staff members and just understanding what our processes are. And then they go through to verify that we are actually following the procedures that we have outlined and that we have auditing processes that are verifying that we're doing that. So it's very, very robust. And it's actually a multi-year journey for us.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like something where if they're coming in every 3 years, that's almost the in-laws are coming for Christmas. Let's
clean the
house. Clean the weekend before.
Yeah, yeah. You start sweeping and
now you've got to you've got to keep your house clean constantly.
Exactly. There is absolutely no downtime. They come through. They identify areas where you can improve, and they give you tips and you know, thoughts in that regard. So then you go to work, you put plans together, and before you know it, they're back and asking how that went and where it was and measuring. And every year they dig a little bit deeper.
You're intentionally making it more difficult on yourself.
That's right. So here's the irony of this thing is that this is actually a decision that we made to do this to ourselves.
Right. It's like I've run one marathon. You get about halfway through and realize I paid for this.
That's exactly
like,
right.
I put myself in this position. What am I doing?
Yes.
But that's what you're doing. You're putting yourself in a position where you have to work hard and you have to keep reaching these goals.
And that's what it is for us. You know, as an organization, we have to constantly be vigilant. We have to be advancing and improving every single day. And this is one of the things that helps us get there.
One of the things that you're also working on is just in general, improving efficiency. You know, that's got a positive domino effect then down the line, including money savings for us when we have to come use your services.
Correct. So, you know, when we get sick or a loved one gets sick, we first and foremost think about the quality of care that they're going to get. Generally speaking, that's the first concern that we have. But not too far thereafter is the cost of care. I mean, medical care in our country is very, very expensive. We recognize this. And so what we are trying to do, we're already pleased to be one of the lowest cost providers in the state of Montana. We plan to stay that way. But we recognize that there's more that we can do. And as we are more efficient, as we are better stewards of the resources that we have, our consumers or our patients' dollars can go farther. And so we've put together a very large initiative this last year to reduce the cost or to reduce our expenses in the institution so that we can pass that on to the community by keeping our costs low and not just riding the scale of what seems to be at times ever-increasing mm-hmm. medical costs.
You've mentioned a few times we've talked about adding resources and adding things, and you touched on early that you've added new providers here in the last 12 months, from specialists to primary care. There's a lot of new additions to
yes.
your family.
Matter of fact, we just looked at this. In the last 2 years, we've added, on the physician side, we've added 21 new physicians, which is kind of hard to get your mind around.
Yeah.
And I should clarify that does include some of our, and primary care includes some of our advanced practitioners as well. But we have, in addition to adding family practice, which now you can get into your family practice doc literally within a day or so. It has completely changed over the last couple of years of getting access if you have an emergent need and need to get in to see your physician. But we've also added a lot of specialists. We have new orthopedists that have joined the community. One that lots of people have been excited about as well is rheumatology. We have mm-hmm. a new rheumatologist. We brought in a couple of cardiologists. So a lot of ists, right, have
right.
joined the community and are integrating very well and getting very busy very quickly. So that's been wonderful because that's an access issue. So one of the ways that we measure quality is the access side of it. So how long it takes to get in to see someone.
Right, because you mentioned rheumatology. Before that, there was just one rheumatologist,
that's correct. That's
right?
Correct.
And so, I mean, the wait time to get in was significant.
And we have to get more. I mean, so a number of these specialties, you know, that I've mentioned, we have another orthopedist joining next summer. We have a urologist that's joining us this next summer. So we have a lot of other folks joining us. On the primary care side, it's been it's been great. And I don't know if you've seen any of these folks run around town, but we've got Dr. Bedell and Dr. Perry, Dr. Streckel, which is a name that some folks may know in the community. He's been around quite a while. Dr. Heedham and also Dr. Beatty. So we just a lot of growth in that regard here over the last year or so. Just wanting to improve access. I think that there's probably nothing more frustrating than when you need to see somebody and you can't get in.
Right.
So lots of work to do.
So as you said, that's not done yet. You're not going, okay, well, we've got our 21. Let's move on to the next step. I mean, you're continually saying, what more can we add to our list here?
Yeah, our current plan calls for about 30, a little over 30. So we're about two-thirds of the way through that. We hope through this next year, the next 18 months or so to 24 months, that we can get the last 10, if you will, and then we'll stop and reevaluate where the community is. But that will create just significant improvement in access for our community to specialized care.
We're talking with Wade Johnson, the CEO of St. Peter's Health this morning. And Wade, looking at all this, seeing where you were and where you've come since you first stepped into the office, how do you feel? I mean, are you happy with where the hospital is and where it's headed right now? Because this was sort of, you stepped in with this mantle, right, of we're bringing you in because we believe you can lead us to all of these things.
Yeah, I think what I'm most proud of are our employees and their hard work, their dedication, their desire to be great. And to do that for a community. We all live in this community. We have friends and family that are in the community that need care. And so there's something personal, I think, for a lot of us that work there for the organization. It just means a lot to be able to give to your community in that way. And so I'm really proud of the employees and how well they have embraced this journey. They're the ones that make everything happen. They're the ones that get it done. They're the ones that win the awards and do those types of things as we move through this journey. And so it's just exciting to have their commitment, their support, as well as our providers, our physicians and other providers, that they too are just a tremendous support. Without them, nothing happens, right? Mm-hmm. So it just takes everybody working together. And so I'm just really, really pleased with the progress that we've made and are making towards our goal.
What if you sort of look on the flip side of that? I mean, is there anything that you've kind of thought, man, I wish that would have turned out better. I wish we would have gotten further along.
Yeah, I think, you know, if there's one issue right now that really is still a great concern, it would be on Medicaid expansion. And so kind of on the legislative side, not as much as in the institution itself, I think we're making great progress there, and I'm very pleased with that. We can never go fast enough when it comes to performance improvement, but we are moving quickly and doing well. But the expansion has really been a huge concern. We've talked about that. You and I have talked about that before here on the radio. So watching the legislature and working carefully with them through this next session is going to be very important. This affects a lot of folks in Helena.
Yeah, and you know what? Let's talk about that a little bit more. But we do have to take a quick break, so let's do that now, and we'll step aside. And then we'll be back with more with Wade Johnson, the CEO of St. Peter's Health, on Coffee Break right here on News Radio 95 KCAP. I just wanted to step away from the show for a few seconds to tell you that if you miss an episode, you can always catch up. We're on iTunes, so find our show there or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Local and area events, city, state, and national officials, your neighbors doing incredible things. We talk to them all on Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk. It's brought to you by News Radio 95 KCAP. Now, back to the show. Welcome back into Coffee Break. I'm Troy Shockley. I do appreciate you stopping by and sticking around today and finishing out our show today, the same man that got us started, St. Peter's Health CEO Wade Johnson. Wade, thanks for hanging out.
You bet. Great to be here.
Didn't chase you out in the first half.
No, not yet.
We talked in the first half about things that you and the hospital have done here in the last year, but looking ahead to 2019 now for a bit, big picture, I guess, what are your goals for the year ahead? You know, sort of that 30,000-foot view.
Yeah, so one of our big goals internally is we are putting in robotic surgery, which is new to Helena, which we're really excited about. So folks currently are having to transfer out, outside of the community if they want robotic surgery. So that's something that we're putting in from a technology standpoint. We've got some, we're occupying a new building, so moving some folks over to create more clinical space within the hospital. So the good news, I guess you'd say, is that we are growing our clinical services for the community. The bad news when you do that is you need space.
Right.
And so we have business functions, if you will, within the hospital itself that don't need to be in that building. It's very expensive space, so we can move those functions to lower cost space, and then make sure that we have the clinical programs where they need to be within the hospital. So we've kind of got that, and we talked a little bit about recruitment and our continued efforts on the recruitment front for more physicians and providers, and then in addition to that, the support for expansion and working with the legislature to make sure that that gets through for our community.
Yeah, and that's let's talk about that a little bit because, I mean, it was a big issue this fall. A lot of folks got out and voted this year. Where are you? I mean, those results came in. You guys sat and looked at them, not necessarily what you wanted to see, but then you say, okay, what's next? Because as far as the hospitals are concerned, that Medicaid expansion, that's a big deal. I mean, even if we take out, you know, it's covering – what, 100,000 Montanans?
Correct. Yeah.
Take out that part of it and just talk the business side of it. That's a big deal for hospitals like yourself and smaller hospitals as well.
Yeah, and the economics, we all recognize the need for the access for those patients and the 100,000 lives, and that's really where the principal focus is. If you want to talk about the economics of it, when you look at the impact, not only for hospitals, but the downstream revenue, it's hundreds of millions of dollars every year for this state. And I think what you've seen, it's interesting, during the election season, the states that took on big tobacco lost. Mm-hmm. All of them lost. The states that didn't won, if you will. So expansion in those states, even very, very conservative states in our region, in Nebraska, Idaho, Utah, all are expanding Medicaid because they were able to not only understand the value of providing that care for those folks and how that reduces cost in the long run, but even the economic impact of that revenue coming into the state is significant. And so that's something that we saw through this process of the election season, I think, is there's a much greater understanding of the economic impact for the state of Montana.
So what now? I mean, this is obviously something that they're going to be discussing in the legislative session. It's starting here in really just a few weeks. What does that look like as far as you're concerned? Are you sitting down and talking with folks? Because there's going to be multiple people bringing up their own version of how do we make this happen.
That's correct. So, we are engaged with different legislators, both parties, talking about how we can work together, how we can support them through this process to ensure that expansion continues in the state of Montana. So lots of conversations, and we get questions that come to us. Hey, help us understand what does this mean exactly within your institution, and what's the impact? And so there's a lot of great legislators that are continuing to educate themselves and understand the expansion and all the impacts of it so they can make the best decisions for the state.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned coming up this year, renovations, and that's going to be happening in the OR.
Yes.
I mean, it's not just packing some moving boxes.
No.
There's something else where you're working. And what does that look like? I mean, I think we've all been in a bookstore or business where renovations were working and they're staying open. They say, hey, sorry about the dust and the mess.
Right.
That doesn't work in an OR.
Yeah, I think it looks complicated is the short answer. So because we have to maintain a certain number of operating rooms that are working and running all of the time while we are working to renovate the surgical suite and bring those up to date. We'll have the state-of-the-art ORs in the state when this is done. We have to juggle a lot of things in that process. It's very complicated. It's time-consuming and just takes a lot of planning to get accomplished. But we have a plan that we've put together. We're comfortable with its direction. We're excited about what it's going to look like when we're done. But it's going to be a challenge, no question.
Will I don't know what else to call them, but customers, I guess, is a good word. Will we see that? I mean, from the outside, are we going to see any disruption or see any?
No, you won't. So, yeah, we call them patients, right? Yeah, right. So, but no, as a matter of fact, I don't know if you've ever had surgery, and you don't have to tell me, but I remember when I had surgery, I asked the anesthesiologist how long it took effect before the, you know, like before I'd start to fall asleep, and I don't remember anything after that. So,
yeah, I remember saying, when is this going to, oh, there
that's
it is.
That's what happened to me.
Yeah.
So, so no, you won't be able to see any of that, but there are very strict rules that we have to comply with to ensure that the environment, that there's no dust in the air. Mm-hmm. There's so it's a project that maybe in a normal business could take you, maybe it takes you a month. It might take us 9 months because of all the steps that we have to go through, all of the things that have to be signed off and checked, those types of things.
You mentioned the robotic surgery. That's the Da Vinci robot.
That's
right?
Correct. I
mean,
yes.
What is that? I mean, it sounds very cool. Sounds very something you'd see on the NASA channel, right? But what does that mean? What is that robot doing?
So, well, the robot is actually doing the surgery. So it is responding to the physician. You could Google if you want and look at these. But the robotic surgery is a it's a robot that has all of the instruments attached to it. And as the physician moves their hands, they're not actually moving, they're moving the hands on a console.
Mm-hmm.
And as they're moving their hands and looking in a screen, which is showing the images that they're operating on in real time, the instruments are being moved by the robot. And that allows for extremely precise incisions and sutures and these types of things. And so it allows surgeons to do some things that historically were a little bit more challenging for them. Reduce the blood loss, as an example, during surgery and those types of things. So it's pretty intricate. It's one of these things when you watch it, your mind just goes, wow, that's amazing.
So you mentioned too that, you know, we're packing some moving boxes. I mean, that's just something where you're moving administration essentially to another building.
Yeah, correct.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a little bit easier. Than fixing the operating room.
That's an easy one. So moving business folks and administrative folks, that's really easy. Renovating an OR is extremely complicated.
We've talked before about you wanting to do some work to clear up the parking lot frustrations that people have had out there. Is that something that we're looking at this coming year?
It is. We actually had planned to do that this fall and weren't able to get everything designed and approved through the city, et cetera, in order to beat the weather. So we will be commencing that this spring and completely redoing our site and parking. And we're going to be adding about 300 parking spaces.
Okay.
So that'll help a lot.
Yeah. So pretty soon you won't have to be just hoping that you get there when somebody else is rolling out.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. That stings, by the way, when you say that, but I know it's true.
Right.
Because I hear that parking is really an issue for us. And so we are working that. And right now, we're actually freeing up some spaces the next couple of weeks. We're going to be occupying a new lot for employees, and that in and of itself opens up at about 170 spaces.
Okay, very good. We've got about 3 minutes left, and maybe not quite enough time, but we had a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
But I do want to at least briefly address this new partnership with University of Utah Health. It's a story that we reported on here, but I think one worth revisiting. That's a big deal for you.
It's a really big deal. We are super excited to be affiliate of University of Utah Health and all that it can bring to our community and to our employees.
Well, it brings a lot of good things with it. I mean, it comes at no cost to you or then, you know, downstream to
us. Right.
No loss of local control. There's not somebody else now sitting in Utah saying, this is what you have to do.
Which was really important for us as we look at relationships and partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to maintain local control, but also be able to tap into the knowledge bank and the resources of a large academic institution.
And so that's what it means for you, right? Is now you have access to more specialists, more expertise and more knowledge and more tools, right?
That's correct. You know, here's something that you might find interesting. About 1950, medical knowledge doubled every 50 years. 1980, it got just under 10 years. 2010, 3.5 years. 2020, medical knowledge will double every 73 days.
Wow.
So being able to have a relationship with an academic medical center that's on the cutting edge of research, this is one of the top 10 academic centers in the country that we have a partnership with now, will just allow us to tap into that knowledge that is just moving so quickly so we can implement that for care.
Yeah, and one of the things that people talk about now is the use, especially in rural states like Montana, telemedicine.
Yes.
I mean, in essence, that's a little bit what you're doing with these guys is you're able to then access them through your own version of telemedicine.
That's correct. So one portion of our relationship is access through telemedicine. And so we have specialists, some of whom are global specialists. I mean, these are some of the very best in the world that now can video in with our patients and with our providers, have conversations about the care and what's happening, and making sure that the patients and the family members are comfortable with what's going on and everybody on the same page. I think it'll help our patients recognize that you don't need to go to a bigger center in some cases. When the bigger center's on the screen saying, hey, this we've consulted, we've talked about this, we've got a plan, we're all working together. Our providers do a great job, and I think them being able to have additional telemedicine resources is helpful for them.
Yeah, it's just adding the new mammography machine, the things like that. You're keeping more people here in Helena. This is another way to do that.
That's
you
exactly
don't have to
right.
send more people out of town.
That's correct. Yeah, they can stay close to home and get their care close to home.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I think there's a lot of good things happening out there. So far so good, Wade.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It's wonderful. Love it. We're just excited. We had a recent community survey where the number of folks that feel we're improving, it hasn't been this high in about 12 years. So I think the word is getting out there that we are moving forward, that things are improving across the board. And so we're just excited about the progress that the organization's making.
Yeah, big things happening out there at St. Peter's Health. And Wade Johnson, the CEO, the man, I'm going to say behind it all. I know you're going to deflect that praise and put it on your workers, but you know what? You're the one that got this ball rolling. So thanks for the work you're doing out there, and thanks for coming in today.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
I'm Troy Shockley, and that's it for Coffee Break today. Be sure to check us out on iTunes, head on over, give us a review there, that's always much appreciated, or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Coffee Break, brought to you by News Radio 95, KCAP. We'll see you back here again tomorrow.